under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Pata Vedra listens at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We have no authority outside of the Word of God. We do not place our confidence, trust in political correctness. We do not place our confidence and trust in denominational dogma or philosophical rhetoric. But what does the Word say? Perhaps many of you have heard me use the term, we need to use a central biblicist worldview. And I don't know that I've ever heard anybody use that. I think less than 100 years ago I coined that term. I've had people say, what in the world does it mean, central biblicist worldview? It means that everything that's happening, what we see locally, nationally, statewide, internationally, we look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? What should we do? How should we respond? As Ezekiel put it, how should we then live? And we find, as we study the Word, look at the Word, allow the Word of God to speak, it gives us directions for what we do in life. It should give us those directions. We're talking about today a few good men. A few good men. May I say in advance of this, Happy Father's Day to all of those that are listening, for the dads that are tuned in today. Happy Father's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a dark, dismal, dangerous, devastating world, and I believe we're living in that world today, and it's getting increasingly so. So just how should we handle it? As I said a moment ago, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? It takes courage and strength, hope and faith in God and God's Word, not in man. And that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll be talking about a few good men. God's looking for a few good men to serve Him and to honor Him, submit and surrender under His Lordship in our lives. And as we face the issues and looking at it through the prism of the Word of God, remember, God's Word, the Bible, is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth, ladies and gentlemen. And in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever. Unending. It's the truth of the Lord. Yet we live in a society today where there are those who want to rebuff truth, to reject truth, and be, how would you say, in some fashion, some way, resentful of anything that's called truth. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his 1984 titled dystopian novel, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. It matters whether you accept it or not. It matters whether you believe it or not. Truth matters. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, and may I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge today on this broadcast, that we love the truth, live it, learn it, tell it, and defend it even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, the closer we get to the last of the last days, the closer we get to the sudden seizure of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ called the rapture, the more we're going to see a disdain for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment, ladies and gentlemen, with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, God's looking for a few good men. Our nation needs a few good men. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give a little smattering of some of the names that comes to mind when I say a few good men. We need men like Abraham, Gideon, Joshua, Joseph, David, Daniel, Solomon, Paul, and Peter, and I could go on and on and on with the men of renown that we find in the Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about a man that makes the most money. I'm not talking about a man that has the best credentials. I'm not talking about that God's looking for a man that is prestigious in the neighborhood. I'm talking about men that stand for biblical convictions. Men that are committed to the Word of God. Men that are committed to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That are totally dependent upon the Lord for strength and wisdom and courage to lead the family, to stand for truth, to love the Lord, and to put serving God in the forefront of all of his family life, his business and professional life. That's needed today, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, God holds the man responsible for the direction of a nation. God holds men today responsible for the condition in society. If you want to know the reason for the deplorable condition of America, the plummet into degradation and despair in America, look no further than the status of men in America. Now, I know we might have a lot of ladies that's applauding that. God's looking for Christians in general to stand for truth. But God holds the man responsible for the home. The man is responsible for the family. The man is responsible for our civil government today. Now, I understand we've got a lot of women that are running for office. That's okay, but it's not God's ideal. God's ideal is for men to be men of God that will trust him with conviction, courage, and commitment to stand for truth and to stand against the wiles of the devil in the society in which we're living in. The Apostle Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, where we're reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. In that context, Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And he says, having done all, verse 13, having done all, stand. Ladies and gentlemen, God's looking for a few good men today that'll put on the whole armor of God, dig in the heels, not run, not sit, not be in silence, not hide, but face the enemy, digging in the heels with the Word of God and facing the enemy today. I believe that's needed more than any other time in the history of the United States of America, history of civilization, in fact. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that Dr. Phelps has taken a few minutes to join me on the broadcast today. Kind of an impromptu moment, but I'm thankful that he's always ready to jump in the dialogue discussion. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being with us today as we face the issues. You've heard the brief monologue thus far. What would you add to that on this special recognition of men for Father's Day? What would you add to what I've just said in relationship to the condition of the world, the status we're in, and why it's there, and what do you see as the recipe, the recommendation from the Word for us to change that?
One of the things that I have come to realize is that we need some good men, especially good fathers.
Mm-hmm.
A father is the head of the home.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible directly to God for his family, and his family look up to him for leadership.
Yes.
And so we need some men who will stand tall and stand for the truth. Speaking of the truth, as you did a few minutes ago, I was thinking of what Peter said in his epistle about the truth. He said that it will endure forever.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's everlasting.
That's right.
It's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be around forever. And so it's important that we have men who will stand for the truth, stand up in our day when we have so many who do not know what the truth is.
That's right.
Have a lot of misinformation being said today and taught today. But many people are confused. People do not know where to go for the truth.
That's right.
But we know because the Bible tells us that God's Word is truth. When Peter was talking about the Word of God, he said it's the Word of God that brings us to believe.
That's right.
He brings us to know the truth through the Word of God. And truth is the vital element that we need today in order to know and have faith in God. Our faith is founded upon the Word of God.
Yes.
So I thought about Ephesians chapter 6, where we're told about the Christian family, and I'd like to read just four verses
here. Do that.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are responsible for the children's education and training and how to live.
Mm-hmm.
And one of this verse that we read here, the last one I read, verse 4, that the fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath or anger. Children are disappointed when they see that the fathers are telling them to follow me and do what I do, and when they're not consistent, and when they become put on, pretending.
Yes.
Children like to see the genuine thing.
Authentic.
And when parents disappoint their children, they become angry. I know that possibly happened with some of us who are listening. We were disappointed in our parents. But we have to remember that we're all human, and unless we are totally surrendered to the Lord and allow the Lord to be the Lord in our lives, then we will fail our children. That's where we must pray. We need to seek God and seek His help and commit our life to the Lord so that we'll be a good example to our children.
Absolutely. That's well stated. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Our lines are open. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and the discussion, perhaps you've got something that you recollect or recall very distinctly, how your father impacted your life. Did he take you to Sunday school, worship service? Did he lead you to faith in Christ? Something that you'd like to give a shout-out, if you will, and praise and honor and recognition as you reflect back on your growing up days, your father and your present. If your dad's alive today, what would you like to say to him? If he's not living today, but you recall something that was impactful in your life, perhaps you'd like to share that as a testimonial today as we celebrate Father's Day. God's looking for a few good men. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a bad father. I really was. But I used to always pray for my son, and my son is now at the Pentagon. And thank God, because I would pray for him, and I was an idiot. I don't know, did I say it like that? Which I was an idiot. I was an idiot. But I pray for my son every day.
Amen.
Yes, I did. And God put him in a position. And I just hope he used that position that he has now to help change America around. Should I say that?
Yes. That's a good prayer, and the thing that we can do for our sons and daughters, even after they've grown up, they're out of the home, they're adults, is to pray for them that they'll be submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that they will honor him with wisdom from God and not wisdom of the world in making choices and decisions for our life and for the future of the life of our families. Kenneth, that is on target. It takes strength to recognize a failure in the past as a father. But just as many fathers that perhaps are listening today, today's the first day of the rest of our lives. What are we doing today to serve the Lord? How are we pointing our families, boys and girls, sons and daughters, and faith to trust Jesus and to follow him? That's the key to it. Kenneth, perhaps you heard me say earlier, God has chosen man to be the head of the home. God has chosen man to be the head of the church. God's chosen man to be the head of civil government. God's chosen man to be the leader. In fact, when God spoke in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, it was man that God said that he was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man was supposed to lead, if you please, in that sense. Adam was supposed to be the one telling Eve when she said, yes. Honey, listen, that fruit looks good. It feels good. I bet it tastes good. Let's take a bite. Man had the responsibility. Adam had the responsibility then of saying, no, you're nuts. You're fruitcake. I'm not doing that, woman. But he failed at that juncture, but yet God holds man responsible. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, death passed upon men, for that all have sinned. So we're all sinful, fallen creatures, but we need to look at it on the basis that God's called us to take the stand, to be the salt and the light, to be the leadership in our home, and to stand for truth and righteousness. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day, and may I say, as I always do, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. A few good men. Happy Father's Day. I pray that this celebration of Father's Day will be a blessing to each and every one that's listening today, that your life as a father will impact the lives of others, that you'll take a stand. I'm looking at an article that I have used as an illustration for probably 30, 40 years or better in relationship to what a father can do in a home. It sounds a little, sad. But it's a fact. Listen, I read a story, and this has been a number of years ago, about a father that had a 16-year-old son. They were in the community where the parents would give the child a car of his choice for his 16th birthday. You know, that type of neighborhood, that type of home and family, where a son reaches 16 or daughter reaches 16. The mom and dad said, we're going to just buy you a car for your 16th birthday. The son and the father went to all of the car lots. Searched and found the very car that his son said he wanted. And the day of his son's birthday came. His dad proudly gave his son a beautifully wrapped present. As the story goes, and it was a true story, hurriedly the son unwrapped the gift, suddenly stopping a quick examination of the package, seeing that it was a beautifully gold-embossed Bible. His son got angry, tossed the gift over into the corner, and left. Rushed out of the door and left home. He didn't see his dad alive again. About 10 years had passed. His dad suddenly had a sudden heart attack and died. The son came back home. He was going through his dad's belongings. He discovered the Bible that his dad had given him. He sat on the side of the bed, slowly opened the Bible, opened it and thumbing through it. In the very center of the Bible, he discovered a cashier's check written to his son for the exact amount of the car that his son had picked out for his 16th birthday. Now, that's sad. It's sad in the sense that here's a son that did not recognize that God, that his dad was giving him the greatest gift that he could give him. In that greatest gift, which was the Bible, enclosed in that was the subordinate, secondary gift, that card that he wanted so bad. Today, ladies and gentlemen, may I say that multitudes of times, dads in the home will take that subordinate thing, that issue or that thing that has less value, and give it to the sons and daughters rather than giving them the love of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting and surrendering his life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God calls man to be the head of the home. In fact, in Joshua, you might ask the question, well, how do you do that? How do you become the leader in the home, the head of the home that God is pleased to use? How can that take place in society today? I recommend to you, ladies and gentlemen, at your leisure, study the book of Joshua. Moses had died. God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. God gave Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, God gives Joshua the formula for having the courage and the conviction to lead the children of Israel to successfully enter into the promised land. Let me just read a couple of verses that's been a blessing to me for all of these years. Verse 6 in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide thee for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7 and 8, he gives Joshua the formula by which he must follow to do that. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Dr. Phelps, do you find that in society today, that formula is the missing element for most men in the leadership of their homes and their families? And may I say that it's the problem that we have in America today for the faltering and the falling and the failure as a nation to be what God's called us to be. How do you look at those verses in, how would you say, in light of where we are today and what you would say that men listening today need to do?
Fathers especially have the responsibility of pointing their children to the book of truth, the Bible.
That's right.
And the words that are used here to refer to God's word is the book of the law.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that he was talking about the first five books of the Bible.
That's right.
Now, those are important, whether we have come to realize it or not. They are so important to our faith. We are living in a generation of people who were their fathers, who consider science to be the final word to creation.
That's right.
And that's dishonoring to God.
Yes.
Because the Bible itself should be the best source of truth about creation, because the author himself was present at the creation.
That's right.
And he knows more about it than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do that, then we put in the minds of our children that the Bible is not an authority on creation.
Mm-hmm.
And they soon lose respect for the rest of the Bible.
That's right.
If we're not sure about the Creator, then how can we be sure about the Savior?
That's right.
How can we believe the rest of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we establish creation as a truth that we need to be teaching today. Now, we know we live in a society where our schools have banned the Bible in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
and it's not spoken of as an authority, but we should respect the Bible as being the truth, because God says it's true. God says it's all inspired from Genesis yes. to the Revelation. And so we have a book of truth, and we need to tell the children that we believe it, and we need them to conduct our lives as those who are believing God, as real believers.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, with that text, as you just elaborated so clearly, God wants the husband, the father in the home, to take a stand for truth, take a stand for with courage, take a stand for righteousness, take a stand for his word. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, and I've said this a number of times before, I believe that the declension that we see in America today, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, politically, civilly, is as a result of men faltering and falling and failing to take the leadership role under the wisdom of God to carry out the task that God's called us to do. I believe that America could be turned right side up for the gospel if men that claim to be saved, if men that claim to have a relationship to Jesus Christ, if men would lead their families, their wife, their sons, their daughters into the study of the Word and in worship service and Bible study on Sunday in our churches, we'd see our churches filled to overflowing. We would see a marked difference in the morals, the ethics, and the values in our great nation called America. When God told Joshua to be strong and very courageous in the Joshua book of Joshua, the first chapter, this is God's directive, I believe, for men today. Listen to this, to be strong and very courageous. Now, I want to talk about it a few minutes, but what does that mean to be strong and very courageous? I want us to understand God's word gives us courage. God's word gives us courage. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving, don't try to pick your Bible up, but if you're home listening, do that. Dr. Phelps?
One of the things that I have found that has been most helpful in my life is to spend some time daily in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to listen to the Word of God.
Yes.
Apart from God's Word, then we become unbelievers, like an unbeliever or like an atheist.
That's right.
If we ignore the Word of God, then we're going to miss out. We're going to forfeit the blessing of having real faith in our lives so that we can live to the glory of God.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear your testimony about Dad, what Dad has meant in your life, what he did in your life to change the direction of your life, and what Dad means to you today. Love to hear from you if you're a dad, what you see that God's done in your life that's changed your leadership role and what God has called you to do. But in this text that we're talking about today, in particular, there's a thousand other texts we could go to. The ones that's impacted me, impressed me so much, is that which we see in Joshua chapter 1, especially verses 1 through verse 9. And then verse 6, 7, and 8, we find God's word gives courage. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, in that text, we need to follow the Lord. As men, as husbands, as fathers, we need to follow the Lord, word, following the word. The scripture says, observe to do according to all the law. That word observe means to examine carefully, to look at and scrutinize and be obedient to all the law. That's the Bible. We need to, as men today, ladies and gentlemen, as fathers today, if we do not observe the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, follow the Word of God, it's impossible for us to be what God would have us to be. It's not giving God authority in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, many times there's those that are not giving authority in our lives from the Word of God. It's compromise when we do not obey the Word. It's compromise when we do not look at all of what God is saying and what God would have us to do in life and living and in serving Him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, God is calling a few good men. And I pray that you'll continue to join the broadcast today. We're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We're coming back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.